Hello, my name is Terry Cheek. You are listening to Crisis and Concern for August 29, 2015. Welcome to a program that addresses current events from a biblical worldview. Call your family, friends, and church members. Tell them the latest Crisis and Concern podcast is posted for immediate download exclusively on sermonaudio.com/PastorTerry. On this podcast, we will discuss several news topics, I guess we can call them, that have been in front of us for the previous week. For instance, we're going to look at a husband and wife who converted to Christianity from Islam, and because of that conversion, they were shot by their own family members. We'll use this to spring into a look at violence and violent persecution against Christianity and how it is multiplying at a very, very scary rate worldwide, not just in America, but worldwide. We're going to take a look at some statements also by Hillary Clinton, yes, the presidential candidate, and her comments where she compared pro-life supporters to terrorists. Well, first, let's take a look at the family who were murdered because they, or the husband and wife, rather, that were murdered because they converted to Christianity. Now, this is not an American family. It is Pakistani. But nonetheless, these folks, they got saved. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And because of this conversion, they were severely persecuted and even shot by family members. The couple, Aleem and Nadia Mashhi, had gotten married about a year ago after Nadia converted to Christianity from Islam. Nadia's Muslim family, however, continued to threaten the couple, and it took such a toll on them that they actually fled from Lahore, Pakistan. I believe that is a proper pronunciation. And they began traveling to a town called Narang Mandi, about 37 miles from Lahore. Now, this is according to the broadcast or the posting of the Christian Post. As this whole situation transpired, Nadia's father and brother pursued them. And as these folks traveled to Narang Mandi, they overtook them on the road. And as that all unfolded, there was some very startling things that took place. Nadia's family was so enraged and so upset and so angry that she had married a Christian and that she had recanted her Muslim faith. They kidnapped both of them. They took them to a farm, and there on that farm, they brutally beat them and kicked them before shooting them. Aleem was shot three times, once in the ankle, once in the ribs, and once in the face. And Nadia was shot in the abdomen. Nadia's fathers and brothers, they left the farm. They believed that they had killed both Aleem and Nadia and had avenged their shame due to the couple's conversion to Christianity. Now here, I open the statement calling it murder, and I must correct myself as I re-examine the posting and my notes on the matter. I do apologize for that. Nadia was not dead. Nadia's brother, Azhar, presented himself to the police admitting to having killed his sister and her husband. And when the police went to the farm to investigate, they found Nadia still alive. Nadia was taken to the hospital and is now battling for her life. Honor violence is widespread among Muslims, especially among family members who convert to Christianity. Killing a Christian is seen as killing an infidel in their culture, which will secure a Muslim's place in paradise and avenge the shame of having an infidel in the family. Nadia's father and brothers have not been arrested, although the Mashi family has filed an official police report against the shootings and against the violence. Now, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ especially, I want to speak to the church. We know, when we look at our Bible, the Lord tells us to expect persecution, and we should. We should all expect persecution. Jesus was persecuted. His apostles and disciples who began and established the first church, they were persecuted. Christianity has always been persecuted. Now, many of us may look at that and we may say, well, why do I want to be part of a faith that tells me that I may be facing these things and I should expect persecution? People in general do not like the truth. And that goes for all of us. We have a tendency of shying away from and even becoming violent toward the truth. And that's what's taking place against Christianity today. Those of us that are part of the true church, the born-again church, we are standing on the truth of God's Word. We are standing on the reality of all of the sexual immorality taking place in America and worldwide, from fornication, living together in sin, to adultery, to child pornography, to the homosexual movements, to pornography in general. It is sinful behavior. By no means is it the only sinful behavior in our lives. There's lying and cheating and greed and lust and envy. The list goes on and on. And we are all subjects to it because we are all born under sin. We all have a sin nature. We all are subject to depravity. And because of our condition, Jesus Christ came. He gave His life on Calvary's cross so that we can be redeemed. Not because we deserve it, not because we earn it, but because He loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We should always remember and cling to that verse and those immediately before and after it as they tell the story of Jesus Christ. It is because of truth that Christianity faces persecution. It always has been and it always will be. And we must look at our Christianity, at our salvation, and we must come to the conclusion that if we are ever faced with this situation, we make our minds up in advance. We will not, under any way, under any circumstances, under any weight, under any pressure, we will not turn our back on Jesus Christ. He never turned His back on me, and I can never turn my back on Him. Praise His holy name. Well, we want to move on to our next subject of discussion in this podcast, and that takes us into the political realm just a little bit. Hillary Clinton, the name is a household name. She is the presidential hopeful for the Democratic Party, at least one of them, and she is on the attack. She is comparing conservatives, evangelicals. The report is kind of written toward a political slant toward the Republican candidates and Republican parties, but in reality, the Republicans and some of these conservative candidates are doing nothing more than repeating an evangelical talking point and an evangelical conviction, and that is abortion is sin. And because of this, because of our stand, Hillary Clinton is calling us terrorists because of these pro-life views. Now, this news comes after the release of 8 videos by the Center for Medical Progress that reveals Planned Parenthood executives discussing the selling of the organs and tissues from aborted children. Now, the mainstream media wants to insist that they be called fetuses. Well, they're not fetuses. They're children. They are unborn babies. They have not entered the world yet. They have not been birthed, but nonetheless, they are created. We do know from the Word of God that He reveals through the Psalms and through other scriptures that God knew us in our mother's womb before we were ever born. If He knew us, He created us. If He created us, we had a soul. If we had a soul, then we had a life. And that's something that we must stand dearly on. Well, the abortion provider denies the accusations and says that the footage has been heavily edited and that these videos are being deliberately exploited in order to belittle and defame and tear down Planned Parenthood. And even so, the videos and the accusations and the statements made, they have prompted congressional investigations, and several states have blocked funding to these groups. And likewise, according to that, the White House has came out in opposition to these states and has even tried to withhold money. And there's a big political shoving match going on over Planned Parenthood right now. And I'm not really interested in the politics of it. I'll be honest with you, I'm not. I'm not interested in all of that hoopla. What I am interested in, though, is how the charisma of one person, be it a Hillary Clinton or whomever, can so sway the thoughts of people. And politics is very passionate, just like Christianity is very passionate. I myself am a very passionate person. And at times, my passion is revealed in these broadcasts because I feel so strongly about some of the subjects that I discuss, and I'm not going to apologize for that. And abortion is one of those things that I am very passionate about. Because these abortion providers are going overboard trying to defend themselves and trying to point an accusing finger at others, and the problem just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, in Ohio, Miss Clinton was discussing women's issues. And of course, the Planned Parenthood people, the abortion agenda, and the politicians who support it and take money from it, by the way, always want to hide behind women's health. Well, I have counseled women post-abortion. And I will not call names because that would not be very proper. But nonetheless, I can say this. I have never counseled a post-abortion woman who was happy with her decision. Everyone I've ever counseled struggled with the decision that was made and with the reality of what had happened, that they cost a life. That they cost a life. Well, Miss Clinton compared pro-life Americans to terrorists and defended the despicable Planned Parenthood behavior and treatment of the unborn. Now, were her priorities right or wrong? Well, that's going to depend on where you stand in the Bible. If you accept the Bible as the inerrant, inspired Word of God, you will realize those comments of being wrong, that her priorities are misplaced and unguided. Unguided biblically, anyway, that there is no biblical support for this practice at all. But if not, if the Bible isn't inerrant and inspired, you may have a different view. And friend, if that's your case, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you with all of my heart that God will touch your heart, that you will see His Word is inerrant and inspired, because until you see that His Word is inerrant and inspired, all of the preaching and all of the teaching in the world is going to be nothing more than wasted wind to you. Because until God reveals that, the power, the authority, and the inspiration of His Word, it can't touch your heart. And that's what has to happen before you can accept Jesus Christ. So these very passionate points of abortion or anti-abortion, they're more than political talking points right now. They are reality. The reality that we're dealing with. Abortion pro, the pro-abortion idea fits right in to all of the sexually immoral, deviant behaviors that our society is going through. And these behaviors fit all into the lies, into the deceit, and to everything else that springs from them. Well, our time has came and gone for this podcast. I hope that in some way the Word of God has become a blessing to you. I realize these stories are frustrating. They can be depressing. But understand God's permissible will in all of this is that He would gain glory. And He will. And His permissible will is that the church will step up and the church will proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Find a Bible-believing church. Attend it. Worship there. Lift up Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And until next podcast, may God bless you, is my prayer.